George Neshankel. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. I'd like to pick up on a few points, but one main point that Danny Morrison just made there to you. He accused leading unionists of waging a cultural war on Republicans by making them harass them to accept that they're part of Britain, to live under Britain, to live under British rule. Sinn Féin signed up to that under the Good Friday Agreement. Sinn Féin have put themselves forward to be British and remain British until such times.
Well, Sinn Féin have not put themselves forward to be British. Don't be ridiculous.
Will you tell me what part of the Good Friday Agreement doesn't say that you're British and you remain British until such times as the majority of people deemed it not to be?
Well, for a start, you can also be Irish while living in Northern Ireland.
Well, no, but he's...
I'm not going down this route anyway. It's total nonsense.
That's not nonsense. He says that there's a cultural war against them. Is there, when they signed up to the terms of the agreement?
The interesting thing this morning is, look, could that assembly collapse?
Stephen, of course it could.
What collapse. About the what if? Or is this bluff?
No, Stephen, of course it could collapse. But at the same time, they're coming on now and telling you what unionist politicians have been telling you for the past 2 to 3 years, when this cultural war, and there is a cultural war, because it's clear to see that's been being waged against the unionist community. And now Sinn Féin see the writing on the wall with dissidents coming up close behind them. So the Sinn Féin see the writing on the wall where they're in disarray in their own areas and they're trying to scream blue murder now and tell you as what people have been telling you for 2 years.
So what you have is you have Gerry Kelly saying there is a crisis in government. Senior member of Sinn Féin. Crisis in government. You have Martin McGuinness saying that Peter Robinson has reneged on a deal. Now, senior DUP sources are telling us this is nonsense, that McGuinness and Robinson are working away together. But what if, George, what if this did collapse?
Stephen, it can collapse, and it can collapse at any time. And people need to realise what people have been telling you for 2 years. You had Sinn Féin and you had Gerry Kelly on last week with two heads. And on one side, he was telling you the assembly could collapse. And
Gerry Kelly didn't say that.
Well, Sinn Féin are saying the assembly could collapse. And that we could be left in disarray. And then you had Gerry Kelly on last week telling us about there should be no preconditions on talks or walks in our down. When they're putting the preconditioning down, they're saying no walk, no talk. Where's the precondition that they're setting down?
Alex Kane with us today as well, former director of publicity for the Ulster Unionist Party, of course. Could this go down, Alex?
Morning, Stephen. Well, I have to say, probably not immediately, but I think there are two things significant. The first is that, and you've touched on it, it is Danny Morrison. And the whole, I mean, former senior member of Sinn Féin knows it inside out. And the culture of Sinn Féin, whether you're still, you know, employed by them or still involved, they do not do solo runs. I find it, in fact, impossible. I think it's not too strong a word. I find it impossible that Danny would have planted this, knowing where it was going to go, knowing who was going to read it, and not have had some sort of nod of approval from the Sinn Féin hierarchy.
Okay, and that's interesting analysis, and many people will concur with you, but he was asked a straight question, and he said he was not talking on behalf of Sinn Féin, but you're saying there's no way we go on a solo run, which gives if you're right, that gives us a little bit more weight that there's a flag being flown here. There's a warning being given.
Yes, I think there is a warning being given. I think we have to bear in mind, Stephen, you know, when you look at unionism, particularly loyalism, you know, the mantra we've heard over the past few months, you know, particularly from the flag protesters, the parade protesters, they're talking about the concessions they've had to give. They're talking about what they haven't got. You have to bear in mind there's a section of republicanism which was sold the Belfast Agreement, and it did, your previous caller is wrong, Sinn Féin didn't sign up to this, they didn't put their signature anywhere to this document, but these people bought into it because they thought, you know, it was United Ireland, they're still on the road, the agenda is still being pursued, and something as important to them as a peace centre at the Mays has suffered, as they say it, by unionist intransigence, by unionist triumphalism. I think that they are worried. They have people inside republicanism going, hang on a minute, do we have 40 years of a campaign to see Martin McGuinness and Peter Robinson locked at the hip? And now, when we're supposed to be in an era of cooperation, when a few months ago Robinson was talking about integrated education and reaching the hand out, suddenly he gets spooked and he completely takes a key part of the programme for government. So, sorry, this is now completely off the table. They're deliberately upping the ante. Now, I don't know. I can't 100% say that they are serious, that they are planning now to walk away from the Assembly. But I'll tell you this, Stephen, the history, not only of Northern Ireland, but of everywhere, institutions fall not to some choreographed plan. They fall because of the little unexpected reasons. And don't no one in Northern Ireland, whether it's the political parties or the MLAs, should kid themselves. It could just collapse overnight.
But where would they go? They need each other at the moment, surely.
Originally, we were told they need each other for survival. They need each other, you know, for the process to continue. The reality is, Stephen, you have to ask a basic question here. And it's a difficult question, but we can't avoid it. It's this, whether enough people from the Republican side and enough unionists enough people on the unionist side actually do want this to work together. Do they want a shared future? Do they want an agreed Northern Ireland? Do they have a common vision? If they don't have that, Stephen, and I suspect you've been at this business 10 years, you and I both reported on this for 10 years, I don't see the overwhelming evidence to suggest to me that people on either side would be in tears tomorrow if they were told the Assembly no longer exists. All the concerns them. And you had a good point there.
Well, but it depends what the consequences are. You know, you asked me a question there. I think it's abstract to people in terms of course, it's big news, but people haven't actually thought through, well, how would Northern Ireland be different if devolution did disappear, if we were back to direct rule, if this did collapse?
Well, I think that's the key question, Stephen, because as the Belfast Telegraph poll said last week and a number of other polls have indicated, 8%, in fact, 10% in total, when asked if the Assembly was good or excellent, that's all it could say was, for the vast majority of people, they either thought it was making a worse job than direct rule or it made no difference. And the problem with this is, because there is no attachment, either from Republicans or unions, or even from the great middle ground, those 45% who aren't voting, Stephen, because there is no attachment to this Assembly, because people genuinely believe it makes no difference to their lives, I'm not sure. The only thing that will concern them is whether or not you go back to violence. And I have to say, my gut instinct is that whatever the dissidents may be thinking about, the overwhelming bulk of republicanism and loyalism does not want to go back to violence. I think there'd be cooling off period. I don't know what would come out of that.
We don't know, Alex, how toxic the relationship now is between Robinson and McGuinness, our Deputy First Minister. We do not know.
No, I wrote a piece. I did an interview with Robinson, I think, at the beginning of summer, you know, and I think you and I talked about it at the time. And Robinson said to me, it's the first time he'd been so public about it, he said that the relationship, that the agreement would not have worked had it been with any other senior member of Sinn Féin. In other words, he could not have worked had it been Gerry Kelly or Gerry Adams or Catriona Ruan. Martin, for him, for the success of the process at that time, was the fact that McGuinness was workable with. If that relationship has changed, and it has changed, if you can tell, you can tell just looking at the body language, you can tell how they look at each other.
Well, they're going to be standing shoulder to shoulder together, though, at this investment conference next week.
They will stand shoulder to shoulder. They will be standing there, you know, smiling. But I remember this at the time when David Trimble was First Minister and Seamus Mallon was Deputy First Minister. I know, and other people will confirm it for you, that the two men could barely tolerate each other. As soon as the cameras were on, they had to smile, they had to go through this, you have to work together to make it look as though Northern Ireland's working because you guys are the linchpin. It's the same with Robinson and McGuinness. But you can't continue to deny the fact. You know, you talk to senior members on both sides, which I do with him and Mally does, with Barney Rowan does. That relationship, which might have been good for a while, Stephen, which might have been workable for a while, these two guys now have no time for each other because basically, forget what they think of each other's backgrounds, forget what they think about each other's parties. There was a period when McGuinness and Robinson trusted each other. They both believed that if they gave the word to each other, they would deliver that part of the relationship. Forget the personal side, but in terms of delivery and whether they trust each other, that side of the relationship has changed.
So here we have Danny Morrison saying the Assembly could collapse. He's a former director of publicity. You're a former director of publicity for the Ulster Unionist Party. Are you saying you think it could collapse now too?
I wrote a piece 2 years ago, Stephen, in which I said if the Assembly doesn't get some key basic issues sorted out, if it doesn't learn actually to cooperate, if it doesn't realise that both parties don't realise that their job is not to serve each other's own interests and play to each other's galleries, if they cannot accept that they have responsibility, that Peter Robinson has a responsibility to Republicans and Martin McGuinness has a responsibility to unions, if they cannot accept that, you will not have any other basis for trust. And in that circumstance, the Assembly is not sustainable.
Okay.
I said that 2 years ago, and I stand. I don't think it'll collapse tomorrow, but I'm just saying, and I agree with Danny Morrison in this, I think it's much closer to collapse than people realise.
Alex Keane, thank you. Gerry next. Morning, Gerry.
Morning.
Interesting question here, by the way, for all of you listening today. Would you care if it collapsed? You know, is it worth fighting for? Jerry, go ahead.
Well, I just want to make a point on Alex. Is there, well, he said that, no, Danny wouldn't take a run solo because he's an ex-PRO for Sinn Féin. Alex is an ex-PRO for the Unionist Party. Did he consult with the Unionist Party before he made his comments this morning? I doubt it. And I think we have to take Danny at his word. But what I will say, that I totally agree with what Danny's saying. And I think the crux of the matter...
You're an ex-prisoner too, right?
I'm an ex-prisoner as well, yeah. And I fully support Sinn Féin. But I'll make this, and I think it's the crunch of it, is that Martin McGuinness is in a problem-solving mode, whereas Peter Robson is in a problem-making mode. His letter from America was disgraceful. His total silence on the violence in Belfast over that summer period, and indeed...
Well, actually, two things. One, his letter from America, as you describe it, was representing a lot of grassroots opinion that he is supposed to represent. And two, he did condemn the violence.
It was a total breach of the government commitments that he made personally with Martin McGuinness. It was a total breach of that. And he didn't even have the...
Shouldn't bring down an assembly, though, Jerry.
The toy
shouldn't be thrown out of the pram because it's not going well. That's a time where you want people to work even harder, surely. But surely
you should honour the commitments that you make. And if you can't honour the commitments... I mean, when two soldiers were killed in Antrim, Martin was at the forefront of the condemnation.
Okay. Jerry, thank you. James, next morning, James.
Good morning.
Go ahead, James.
I would just like to say I would like to see this country going back to direct rule from Westminster.
Why?
We were well off when we were under direct rule, and our MLAs at present have proved they're not politicians and they're not capable of running a country.
So you want water charges back, do you? Well, back, I haven't been here, but you want water charges implemented like they have across the water? Is that right?
I would happily live the same as people in the rest of the UK live.
You don't want local politicians able to kind of split a budget as they want to?
If they were politicians.
Locally accountable?
If they were politicians. They're just sectarian bigots at the minute.
Welfare reform coming down the tracks, no alterations locally. You want that, do you?
Yes. I would happy enough to take whatever Westminster throws at us.
Jim Wilson with us this morning as well. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. I was listening to Danny Morrison this morning. It was just, you know, we hadn't been so serious about laughable. He used two phrases to you, one-sided and equality. Now, we have been talking about that for the last 3 to 4 years, about loyalism and unionism, about the equality and the one-sidedness of all the inquiries, the HET and the parades. Where's the millions spent on the inquiry, on the historic inquiries into what's happened to our community? It's not there. It's not there and hasn't been there. So Danny Morrison now is a sabre-rattling, maybe not on behalf of Sinn Féin, but he's sabre-rattling on behalf of the Republicans because they haven't got their way and a couple of things about the maze. Now, it's a joke when you think of it, considering what our community's been put through in reference to the parades and the HET. You know, all the HET, as I told you a couple of years ago, and I don't think anyone has ever came back to about the figures that I give you and then the figures that you were given by the PSNI, which weren't the true figures.
Well, other HET figures suggest it is even-handed.
Well, it wasn't even-handed a year ago. You're going to.
Would you care if the Assembly collapsed?
Pardon?
Would you care if the Assembly collapsed?
Well, I think, Stephen, the Assembly gives a bit of stability to this country, and I would be concerned that would give the opportunity for dissidents and people even within the loyalist community who feel that there's a reason for to go back to war. And I know I wouldn't want that because I was one of the ones along with the PUP and others who went in and fought pretty hard for to get this agreement. As hard as it may be for Republicans and loyalists at the minute to cross talk to each other, you know, we still have to do it, you know. And let's put it like this, and I said this on your programme last year, we're saving lives while there's no violence in those streets. But there still is violence, and it's from dissident Republicans. You know, but I still feel, and I've said to you time and time again, he's done programmes after programme after programme about how much it was costing for the Twaddell Avenue thing. Did you ever think how much it's costing for the police, the dissident Republican threat in this country? No, you didn't. No one's done that. Everything I hear seems to be about against my community, against my community, against my community. And then we'll come out, and because they decide. And I, by the way, Stephen, I was pro the Maze. I was one of those in the loyalist circles who were in pro the Maze. But whenever I seen how Sinn Féin were conducting themselves over the past year or so, I said to myself, and I'll say this phrase again to you because I was pulled on this by senior Republicans at a meeting. I don't trust them anymore. I can't trust Sinn Féin anymore in the way they're playing this game.
Here's Tom next. Thank you, Jim. Morning, Tom.
Morning. I just want to say, especially to those community workers, that the new direct rule would involve Dublin. And it's very likely that Sinn Féin could be part of a new Dublin government. So in actual fact, what these community workers would actually be doing is taking power away from unionists and giving it directly to Sinn Féin.
Tom, thank you. Gary and Lauren. Morning, Gary.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, just on the pre-commission claims from Gerry Kelly, he says that you can't work the preconditions. What Martin McGuinness said at Stormont the other day, if there's no peace centre, there's nothing at the Maze. Is that not a precondition in itself?
Okay, thank you. Charles in Belfast. Morning, Charles.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Stephen. I would just like to say that it's a failed entity. The whole notion of a parliament here is a failed entity. And what we need now is Plan B of the Good Friday Agreement for Dublin and Westminster rule the province here. Now, when that scenario arises, it is more than likely that Sinn Féin will be the kingmakers in a southern Dáil, and therefore will have a major influence on what's happening here in this province.
Charles, thank you very much indeed.